Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Fourth Amendment, Facial Challenges, and Warrantless Guest List Searches Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 3, 2015, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in City of Los Angeles v. Patel. This case presents two questions. The first question is whether the Fourth Amendment permits facial challenges to municipal ordinances and statutes, or only as applied challenges. The second question is whether warrantless police searches of hotel guest registries, which include information that a guest is required by law to provide, are unconstitutional under the Fourth Amendment. To discuss the case, we have Professor Nicholas Quinn Rosenkranz, who is a professor of law at the Georgetown University Law Center. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Rosenkranz.
Great, thank you. I'm delighted to be with you. So Los Angeles versus Patel, it's a very interesting case. It was argued at the Supreme Court, and I was in the gallery and listened with interest, so I can tell you a bit about the case and give you a bit of my impressions of what happened. So Los Angeles has an ordinance, a city ordinance, which requires hotels to keep certain records about the guests that are staying there. Things like name and address and the number of people in the guest's party, things like the make, model, and license plate of the guest's vehicle, if the car is going to be there, date and time of arrival, scheduled date of departure, room assigned to the guest, rate charged, etc. So Los Angeles requires hotels to keep those records, and nobody argues that there's any problem with that. However, the ordinance goes on to provide that the hoteliers have to show those records to a police officer upon request. So that is to say, no warrant is required, no particular articulable suspicion is required. A police officer can simply walk in and say, show me the guest registry, and the hotel has to do so. And so several hoteliers brought suit complaining that this regime violates the Fourth Amendment, which forbids unreasonable searches and seizures. Now, what's odd about the case, at least in its current posture, is that the hoteliers are contesting the ordinance purely on its face, meaning they're not complaining about any particular search or any particular request. They're not saying on January 3rd, a police officer came in and demanded these records without any suspicion, and that's our complaint. That violated the Fourth Amendment. Instead, they're saying in the abstract, in general, we think this regime violates the Fourth Amendment, without describing any particular search or any particular seizure. So there are no facts in the case. It's kind of odd. It's just an abstract challenge to this ordinance. So the court actually granted cert on two questions. The first was the threshold question, is this a properly formatted Fourth Amendment challenge? Can you bring a Fourth Amendment challenge like this that is purely abstract? Can you bring a purely facial Fourth Amendment challenge? So that was the first question on which the court granted cert. And then the second question was, if this is a properly formatted challenge, if you are allowed to bring a challenge like this, then on the merits, does this regime comply with the Fourth Amendment? Is it consistent with the Fourth Amendment or not? So those are the two questions in the case, and I can tell you I actually filed a brief on behalf of the Manhattan Institute on that first issue. So our position was that actually no. You cannot bring a Fourth Amendment challenge in the abstract, a purely facial Fourth Amendment challenge without citing any facts. And we offered a pretty clear reason for that. The court's been very confused about this distinction between facial and as-applied challenges. And so we tried to give the court an opportunity to clarify this distinction. The way we put it is, the distinction between facial and as-applied challenges is simply a distinction based on who exactly you're complaining about, what I call the who question. So if you are actually complaining about legislative action, what a legislature has done, then your challenge is properly a facial challenge. But if you're really complaining about what an executive officer has done, your challenge is an as-applied challenge. Now, if that's so, you then have to look at each clause of the Constitution to see which actor is bound by that clause. And what we say is, well, the Fourth Amendment really binds executive actors because it's executive actors who do the searching and seizing. So on our view, a Fourth Amendment challenge always and inherently must be an as-applied challenge because it has to be complaining about what an executive officer did, a particular search. The executive, you know, the FBI, you know, broke down my door and shined the flashlight in my face. That's the Fourth Amendment violation, not the passing of a law. So that was our argument, that this was not a properly framed challenge, that in fact a Fourth Amendment challenge can never be a purely facial, abstract challenge. The court, though, this morning spent most of its time talking about and asking about the second question, which is to say, I guess, assuming that this is a properly brought challenge, is this regime consistent with the Fourth Amendment? Now, what was interesting about the argument from my perspective is that the argument had a very theoretical flavor to it. It's not unusual for Supreme Court arguments to have a lot of hypotheticals and things, but this had quite an abstract hypothetical flavor to the entire argument, and I think it's for exactly the reason that we set forth in our brief. This case just doesn't lend itself to this kind of analysis because there are no facts. A kind of Fourth Amendment inquiry really usually turns on specific facts. So you have the justices asking, you know, well, what if the register, you know, the guest register was kept at the front desk? Or what if it was on a computer screen? Or what if it was kept in the back? Or what if they kept it in a public space, but then they hid it whenever the police arrived? You had questions about whether this would be the same in a hunting lodge, and what if it was a private hunting lodge or a public hunting lodge? These are all interesting hypothetical questions, and we can see how they get at different aspects of the Fourth Amendment problem. But, you know, what was the argument had a kind of unreal flavor to it because there were no underlying facts. Nobody could say, well, in this case, what happened was the register was in the back or whatever, because there were no facts in this case. So I'd say the argument had quite a theoretical flavor to it. Both of the advocates were superb. So we had Tom Goldstein representing the hoteliers and then challenging the ordinance. And we had Josh Rosenkranz, who is no relation to me, representing the city and trying to defend the ordinance. It was quite interesting. I'd say they both received some difficult questions. I'd say they both were excellent in their handling of the questions. I suspect the case will be 5-4, but I'm not actually sure how it's going to come out. That is, if they were to reach the Fourth Amendment merits, I think it would be 5-4, and I'm not sure how it would turn out. But I remain hopeful, actually, that when the justices actually sit down to write this thing, they will realize that you can't quite do this analysis without a set of facts before you. But this is not a properly framed challenge. So even though the argument was largely about the second Fourth Amendment question, I'm hopeful that the first question is actually going to decide the case and that the court will say this is just not a properly framed challenge.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.